Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
You shine where you shine, and you have your ego where you have your ego. Her ego lands in, she can find a parking space anywhere in America, no matter what.
Yeah, I can. Bring it.
Ego.
On.
Confidence.
Or confidence.
Confidence.
And would it hurt my ego if I didn't get a parking spot?
No. It wouldn't hurt your ego because you have confidence. You would say, it's just not time. We're not supposed to park here.
1,000% correct.
Yeah.
I'd be like, I didn't want that spot anyway, bitch. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of
Daytime with
Raven
and Miranda.
That's us.
It's the new year, everyone.
It is. It's the new year. Oh, we made it through.
You made it through, but let's just warn everybody, you're not feeling very well today. You're a little under the weather.
I'm a baby bit under the weather, yeah. But that is okay. We will prevail.
One thing I love that your body does is let you know before you get sick. Mm-hmm. Why do you think that your body is so attuned with itself?
I think it comes from being a hypersensitive person who's aware of everything on my body. I don't know. I think I just have high feeling receptors. Like the other day, I even shocked myself because I felt a little tickle on my face, and there was just one of Quinn's little hairs right here, and it was just tickling me. And then the other day, before that day, I felt a little tickle on my arm, and there was an ant just crawling on my arm. I just feel...
You feel all the things?
Princess and the Pea.
Yeah, that's right. You are a little sick, and when you get sick, it's a thing.
When I get sick, I become a little baby who wants to be, like, held and loved and cared for, and I get super emotional.
But when others around you get sick, you're like, sequester yourself in a room.
Oh, I'm like, stay the fuck away from me, because I know what I'm like when I'm sick, and I'm like, trust me, I'm doing all of us a favor. Just stay the fuck away. I get very anxious. I'm like,
you really do.
Yeah. No, I'm not. I do not treat others the way I expect to be treated when I'm sick.
No, you do not.
No, I don't. I'm sorry.
That's
for you.
Okay. Hey, I'm okay.
I literally banish you
this
if you're
is very
sick.
True. You
and
do.
And I also get low key pissed because I'm like, God damn it. Why did she have to go to that thing to get sick? Yeah, it sucks.
It's really kind of funny, actually.
Also, though, I'm not fully claiming this as sickness. Oh. I think that I'm just a little burnt out from all the holiday stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm still coming back from your 40th birthday party.
That's right, bitches. I'm 40. This is what 40 looks like.
It looks amazing, which, you know, it's taken me over a month to recover. I just think it's all of that.
That's fair.
I'm just tired, I think.
Coughing, tired.
Just coughing.
Heavy chest.
Tired. Yeah.
Tired.
I do feel like there is a bus on my chest. But
and you're coughing. It's okay. I will accept it. I'm used to when people are sick around me to just like dive in there, give them all of the juices, all of the stuff, and not protect myself. And then as soon as they're finished, I'm under the weather.
Yeah. Well, not this time.
So if you need me, I'm here. But otherwise, I'm going to stay the fuck away.
Yeah, no, you should. I think you should protect yourself at all costs.
Okay.
You know, yes.
This is the first time I've been in her presence in the last 2 days. I'm just playing. That's
no,
a lie.
You were sweet last night. You held my hand on the couch, which is what I needed.
Well, I was on the other side of the couch.
But
I'm 40. Yeah.
How does it feel?
It feels like 39. And my wife, which is you, threw the most amazing birthday party for me. So I really want to say thank you for that.
You're welcome.
And it was interesting because we had my birthday and then we had a couple days off and then we went to a friend's Christmas party afterwards. Mm-hmm. And
it feels like yesterday. It's so funny.
It does feel like yesterday. Yeah. And we left a little bit early for my friend's party. And one of the reasons we left was because it was a lot of stimulation. It was a lot of lights, a lot of tinsel, a lot of people we didn't know.
A lot of tinsel.
It was actually a really cool party. I had never been to a Christmas party like that before.
Me either. I've never seen a bar go like that. It was cool.
It was really cool. And when I texted him later, he's like, is everything okay? And I really wanted to be like, the difference between my party, which was like in a dark environment, sushi walking around, no tinsel, it was like warm lights, not loud music, compared to his party. I'm like, oh, wow, I wonder if your sensitivity is rubbing off on me.
Did you feel overwhelmed in the Christmas party?
Not overwhelmed how you explain overwhelmed in your body, how you get flushed and hot and all of that. But I did feel like this is a lot. This is a lot going on. I've actually felt like I was in the daytime and it was obviously 9 o'clock at night. It was so bright.
Yeah, it was really bright.
But it was so much fun for my childhood self.
I think I totally agree. It was such a spectacle. And I think if there were like 50 less people in the crowd yeah. below, because we were up a little bit. Mm-hmm. I think there were like 50 less people, it would have been way better. But they were just like shoving so many people in. And then that on top of all of the decor, it was just a lot. But it was cool. And I think that if it hadn't been back to back for me from your party to that, I would have been more able to stay because mm-hmm. the music was great. The
music was
the
fantastic.
The vibes were good.
The people were awesome.
We had great people around us. So, yeah, it was a bummer that it was just kind of like so much, so back to back.
I just want to give a shout out to Lux and I want to give a shout out to Damien for inviting us to this party and saying thank you and please invite us again. And next time we'll wear headphones and some sunglasses.
I mean, we went as gingerbread.
We did.
We looked epic.
I literally have been wearing that gingerbread outfit for like 3 days.
You did. You didn't want to get out of it.
It was so cozy. And we were super cute.
And we also, prior to that, went to Monet Exchange's engagement party. And that was beautiful. And we went dressed as gingerbread, which was kind of crazy because we looked.
We as lesbians / sapphic females, which is kind of a redundant thing, we are known to just chill. You know what I mean? Like, we'll be in the house. We're kind of huddled. We like warm spaces, amber candlelight. Like, if we go out, it's seen and be seen and then get the fuck back in the car and go. And I wonder if that's just like an overall female thing or if that's catered to women who like women. What do you think?
I think it's a little bit of both, to be honest, because I think that women who like women are still women. You know what I mean?
You're
so
right.
It's like all women are women, but I think that women who like women gravitate towards spaces that they feel safe in where other women get it.
Yeah.
And so when you are in spaces that are cultivated for women by women, it just is like good vibes all around.
I fully agree.
And that is something that I think we as lesbians then gravitate towards because we want that versus like party spaces that are crazy and men and blah blah blah. And I think that's actually part of dating.
It's just men.
Well, crazy and men. But I think that that's also the dating situation.
Oh,
like,
without a doubt.
You know, when you think of women wanting to go meet women, it's hard to actually find spaces out in the world that are just for girls.
I mean, especially one that's created by females, for females, and not just on a sexual nature, but like as friendship, for community.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's a really cool thing about the sapphic community as well is, listen, unlike some male communities where it's very much sexually free and, you know, you have sex with this person and this person and this person, there's a connection I feel like women need to have, especially within the sapphic community, that can shine, like on this app, Her. Like, you can go on this app and there's a real queer community. There's events and vibes and, you know, you can see the green flags, you can see the red flags. But since it's curated by other queer women and other sapphics, I think it's really cool.
I do too. And I think it's interesting because this time of year in particular, people are like making their lists. You know, it's like everyone is still in that first month of the new year where expectation is high and we're like, okay, I'm hitting the gym. I'm going to like, I've made my list of red flags and green flags and who I want to date and what I like and what I don't. And I think that that is, it's great that there is a tailored space for people in our community. And we talk about this a lot, actually, how much we seek community. Oof. And it's hard to find other married couples or other women who are out vibing in the same way we do. And
that aren't looking for a sexual connection, but just friendships.
Yeah, exactly.
And also sexual connection, if that's what you like.
No, I think that it's harder and harder to get to meet people. So it's so wonderful that there's a clear landing spot like Her for people looking for dating and community and friendship even probably. You know, you never know what could happen.
Yeah, but it's and you know what they call that season, babe?
What?
Restart season. If you like it like that and makes you feel good, you got to download Her, the app, today. and start your restart. And start your restart season.
Your reinsertion of her. No worries about that on the Her app.
Unless you like that kind of thing.
Well, this is true.
It's all kinds of things there.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. the word sapphic is amazing to me. Mm. When I was younger, I didn't know what it meant. I thought it was connected to a very 18 and above type of video, but it is not. Mm-mm. And I am appreciative that we are normalizing that word a lot more.
Do you want to hear something that is maybe like the opposite of sapphic, but
gay,
is interesting to me?
What?
Okay, so there's ejaculation, and
wow,
then
let's just go for it.
And then
yeah,
there's something called injaculation.
Okay, so there's E and then there's N?
Yeah, and guess what N means?
Inside?
Yeah. And, okay.
So is that like from when you, is that like the booty hole?
No. So celibate, monks are celibate.
Monks ejaculate?
Yes.
You guys.
But hold on. Just let me get this out.
Okay.
Okay. And trying not to butcher it as fully as I might be butchering it. But someone's going to get it.
Someone.
Hopefully you. So monks are celibate. And there's this, I think there's Tibetan monks in particular. They can't even masturbate.
Right.
And that isn't healthy, honestly, for the body, especially for men who need to just get the energy out.
And dogs.
Yeah, and dogs who are male. A lot of men who don't come end up aggressive, angry, more irritable, blah, blah, blah.
Without a doubt.
And they developed a technique where they can basically ejaculate, which is a whole process. It's a whole thing. And apparently this very famous actor who shall not be named, Woody Harrelson has talked about this. He's not the actor I didn't
want to
name.
To say that was no. crazy. This actor who shall not be named, Woody Harrelson.
No. It's not Woody Harrelson, but Woody Harrelson knows the technique.
Oh, he knows it.
Yeah, there's this very, very famous actor who is
Colin
has
Farrell.
This reputation of Colin being
Firth.
Able to just last forever. He's a great lover, and it's because he knows how to ejaculate, so he could go for hours, like multiple times a day.
White or black?
White.
I know it is.
And it's so much more than what we're just talking about, because sexual energy and where I was getting intrigued by this, and power and knowing how to harness that is actually incredible. And when men specifically know how to harness that, it's so significant for how they negotiate deals, how they show up in the world. And I was thinking, for a woman, like anyone who understands being in a space of pleasure, like your whole body, you're aligned in a way. You're not in your head. You're more primal, but you're just like in alignment. So imagine that, having all of those feelings, but you are capable of controlling them. And then you walk into a room. Like, there's no way that you wouldn't be more attractive, more captivating. If you have all that oxytocin going, like, you're going to lure people.
Well, I mean, that makes a lot of sense. Scientifically, I don't know, but socially I do, because I remember back in the day, Mike Tyson used to say that he would not ejaculate before a fight.
He knows this method.
He knows how to in?
He knows the
method. So when we say in, it's staying in, or is it like, I need ChatGPT to tell me if this is like how this happens. This is crazy, you guys.
People have taken
out ribs so that they ejaculate different ways.
Into their babes. That's crazy.
I'm just saying, that's what I've heard.
Yeah, people have also taken out ribs so they can fit into smaller dress sizes. People are wild.
People are crazy.
But I liked the spiritual, psychological component of this.
Well, I mean, when you ejaculate, or when you, you know, have an orgasm, it's connected to the root chakra area, and that's one of the most strongest epicenters of the human body, if you believe in that type of process. And I'm not surprised that the Tibetan monks, or monks, I don't want to totally just say it's Tibetans, but the monks can understand how to harness that power. Mm-hmm. I just am confused on what they're thinking about in order for it not to come out and dribble a little bit. Like, I just want to know if it's, like, is it going to the kidneys? Is it being reabsorbed? Do they get a little snotty afterwards and they're like, hold on, I got to, like, you know what I mean?
It just stays. Anyway, it's just a great
It's a great conversation to connect to the sapphic community. I think it's definitely a one-to-one.
Power.
Period.
Knowing how to harness your body.
Period.
Having great energy when you walk into a room.
Necessary.
It's power.
It's power.
And we're starting the year off strong with great conversations for all of you. You're welcome.
Let's talk about the new year. Actually, let's just talk about last year. Last year was horrible. It was absolutely a mess. I unsubscribed at the beginning of the year. Mm-hmm. And as the year continued, I tried to resubscribe and I kept trying.
This time last year, were we fighting fire?
Yeah, we were fighting fire in LA. Uh-huh. We were living January as if it was an entire year to itself.
Oh my God, it felt so long.
It felt so long and draining. And then the people that have passed last year in violent ways and nonviolent ways, we've just had so much loss in 2025.
I feel like all even the years before.
Yeah, 2020 to 20. And it's 2020 to 2025 have been
rough.
Have been really, really rough. And I thought that last year was the turning point. You know, it takes
We all did.
You know what I mean? Yes. It takes like 5 years to get over stuff. We were sequestered for a year and a half. And I'm like, okay, 5 years, we're back on top. However, Hollywood crashed. AI's taken over. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Pick a problem. 2025 did it.
Yeah. Yeah. Period. I can't say any more than that. Just, yeah.
Yeah. So what are you hoping for this year, 2026?
Oh, my God. Just peace. just peace. And what I mean by peace is just not what happened last year. So just some chill.
Yeah. Everyone's saying that since I turned 40, I'm going to get such a great years. And I'm like, yeah, but it's aligning with the 20s. And I don't know if it's really going to be as amazing as
everyone has really said that to you. People are just like across the board. Welcome to your 40s. They're going to be so great. Kind of makes me excited to enter mine.
Yeah.
I mean, I turned 39 this year, so I'm not that far behind you. But yeah, just all these people are like, 40s are the best.
But they were in their 40s in the 90s, in the early 2000s when shit was cool. I'm 40s in the down slope of America.
I think what they mean, though, is not so much about the, it's not what's happening around you. It's how you feel in yourself.
Right. And how I feel in myself is a reflection of what's happening around me.
That's very true.
I am a product of my environment.
That's so true. That's so me. Remember what I said in my speech, your birthday speech?
Babes, your birthday speech was fucking magical. Aww. I asked you to repeat that the night of. Mm-hmm. I watched it after when we got the videotape. I think I fell in love with you a little bit.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
A little bit more is what.
No, just a little bit. No, I'm just playing. It's a new kind of love. It was a different kind of love. There's many different kinds of loves, which you know that I know and that I have to explain to people. There's lust love. There's friendship love. There's partner love. There's wife love. There's sibling love. There's so many different kinds of loves. And in that moment, I fell in love with you. And I fell in love with you in a public love kind of way. Hmm. Because even though you love an Instagram post and you love a socially outward go ahead and cough it out. I know you're sick. See? Back. Love.
Love.
And you don't have to hold it in. You don't have to hold in your tics.
It's also just a thank you. Thank you. Huh? My tics. She's letting me be bailing out loud. Thank you, baby. Goddamn.
Tet that rotisserie chicken. We love you, Balin. We'll get into that in a second.
Balin, come on this podcast.
Come on the podcast, 2026, Balin. We Balin. Fuck with you. But having to stand in front of people and confess a love is different than writing it out on a social post.
You mean profess?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I went to set school, which was great. I learned a lot.
But you can also confess love, but that's an. But you mean?
I mean profess. Right? Yeah. You're professing it in front of a lot of different people. Mm-hmm. You're professing it in front of a camera because the documentary was happening at the time, mm-hmm. and I was just like, wow. And I was able to accept it. I didn't shy when normally stuff like that happens, especially when it's personal. I'm like, no, don't do it. I want to tell nobody. Don't tell nobody. And so that's why I say I fell in love with you a little bit because it was a different love that I hadn't experienced with you before.
I get it. And that was really nice. And I felt that love. And I have to say, I worked hard on my speech, but I didn't expect to get the response that I did, which was obviously you loved it, but then people came up to me after and were like, that was amazing. And then the next 2 days after the party, I got texts from people. And there were certain people, actually, like the friend who invited us to the Christmas party, who doesn't really know me, hasn't really seen me. And he came up to me and he was like really taken aback. So many people took the time to kind of say something, and people that I knew well, people that I didn't know well. And it was just really nice.
You did a really good job. You're a wonderful speechwriter, babes.
Thanks.
If you ever need a speech written, comment in the comments. She got you. $30 a speech.
$30?
Too much? Too little? Too little.
Yeah.
Oh, she knows her worth. Prove it, babes. How much should you charge for a speech if you're writing it?
If I was honestly being hired to write someone's speech,
yeah.
Hundreds of dollars.
Hundreds.
Hundreds.
Like 200.
No.
No.
Like hundreds. Probably 950 to 2,500.
Oh, you mean a thousand? Thousands.
Yeah, hundreds of thousands. A ginormous amount. That's a lot of fucking work.
It is a lot of work.
I wrote your speeches for free, but that's the only person.
They were for free.
That's true. That's true.
You got payment from that.
You
Let's talk about Baylen. Let's talk about these shows that we are addicted to a little bit.
Let's talk about our 2025 shows.
2025.
That we hope come back in 2026.
2025 shows. Let's just start with Baylen Out Loud. I love that show. I love Baylen. Baylen and Colin, one of the cutest couples on screen.
They're sweet.
Baylen and her pink addiction. Girl, you got this. Wear some black. It works. It's really cute. And we just love watching it in the comfort of our own home as sapphics and enjoying.
You really like this word sapphics now.
Let me tell you, I'm using it all the time now. I think that the show needs to continue forever. I want to see her have her babies. Mm. Sorry, Baylen. I want to see about babies. And how do you feel about the show?
I really enjoy it as well. It's like feel good reality TV in a way, you know? It just, you get this peek into people's lives and ways of being. And it's funny how addicting reality shows are. And these real life characters become characters. And you just know them in that way. But Baylen's great. Colin's great. They're fun. I like watching their family dynamics. We actively talk back.
We do.
And engage with all of the reality shows we watch. And then I want all of them to come on the podcast and talk to me about all the things. But yeah, it's really good.
If you had to pick a show that we were watching in 2025 and give it your Miranda $2,500 speech breakdown, which one would you choose?
Born This Way.
I'll pay you underneath the table. Here's your $2,500.
Thank you.
Speak on it.
Okay. Oh my gosh. Actually, they made an appearance in the speech.
They did make an appearance in the speech.
Some of these people. Born This Way is an amazing show, and it follows a group of adults with Down syndrome, and they're just the most beautiful people. Their families are incredible. I think it teaches such amazing life lessons.
Tolerance, empathy, kindness.
Also just presence. Like
presence.
What I've found, and I think that these people are such great teachers, this cast in particular, because they live in the moment. They say what's on their mind. They are not afraid to express their fears, their thoughts. If they say something that is out of pocket, they apologize and learn.
Immediately.
Yeah, they apologize and learn from the experience. But there's such unfiltered joy in their existence and so much struggle, because the world is not set up for anyone with differences or disabilities. And it's beautiful to see the resilience that comes from having to face hardship. And these people in particular do it in such a beautiful way, and they've built such an amazing community, and their families are so wonderful. And it's really honestly one of the first shows I've ever watched where I was like, wow, I want to give back. Like, they actively made me want to do something good, which is very
That's a crazy statement, babe.
That's a very new thing. That's me in 2026 trying to
be
better.
You know what? I'm going to do good today. That's
I'm going to try and be good in 2026.
I agree with you. I think Born This Way has been my favorite show of the last 5 years. Mm. It's we're late to the party.
Not the last century, like the Book of Mormon.
Jesus Christ. How these people in their advertisements with the Book of Mormon are getting on my fucking nerves. No, Born This Way, even though it came out before 2020, it blessed our psyche in 2025.
Yeah, we didn't find it.
We didn't find it until 2025. And the cast, you spoke so eloquently about what they mean. And I kind of want to dive in a little bit deeper and more detail to each one. I'm going to start with JT, the rapper of the crew.
Adore.
The adorable, the most amazing, reaching your goal. You know, when you don't have a disability, I think you take life for granted sometimes. And you're like, oh, I'll get to it, maybe. Yeah. These goals that you might have, because you got so many things going on, whether it's stressful, whether it's not. And with JT, he wants to be a rapper. And his parents said, hey, make it by this time. Here's your time to do it. And he did it against all odds. And he's even trying to drive in this last season, which makes me so happy for him. Then I'm going to give Girl Dad of the Year / Dad of the Year award to Mariano.
Oh.
Christina's father. I wish my dad was that. I wish he was my dad. I wish he could teach fathers how to be. His gentle approach, his daughter speaking these things that most dads are like, don't talk to me about it. He's like, well, just talk about it. It's fine.
And yeah.
Oh my God, the way that he treats his daughter makes me so envious, actually, and really happy. I also want to just bring up Rachel.
I love Rachel.
Rachel, we love you. And we love your family. Your tenacity, your kindness, your awareness, your ability to see someone else's sadness and jump right in.
She's such a caretaker. She is so kind. And one of the most beautiful things to see in Rachel was not just see her like move out, face fears, but go from the flip, which was her defining hairstyle.
Honey, the flip was her defining hairstyle.
To a new one, which was kind of like the curl in.
The feather.
And she...
She killed it.
She killed it.
Her style was On Point Productions. Rachel, we love you. We've watched your career and we're so happy for you. And then, of course, it's the entrepreneur.
Yep, Megan. We got Megology.
Megology. There are so many amazing humans in this reality show that made me feel like I needed to do more.
I mean, let me tell you, yeah, Megan works her little butt off. She just wants to be Cookie.
She wants to be Cookie from Cookie Lyons. Oh my gosh,
she wants to be a bad bitch. Cookie Lyons from Empire, which is fucking epic. And then you have Sean, who also has his clothing. And I saw a few pieces of Sean's merch where I was like, I want that. He had a Halloween one, which I know you didn't catch because there were so many, but I still think about it. I'm like, that one was super cute. And then you have Elena, who's like in Japan.
Elena.
Okay, then you have Elena, who's a Japanese-American who is finding her Japanese roots again. Like, it's
I want to pause on Elena for a second because she had such an emotional roller coaster. Mm-hmm. Her parents, the way she was brought up was a little bit more difficult than the other kids because of the way the Japanese culture expresses their feeling towards people with disabilities when she was born. And you could see the trauma that comes from a child not being fully accepted no matter what.
Yeah, like these, like she was the only one in the group who at the beginning of the season could not tolerate the word Down syndrome.
Yeah, she couldn't.
Everyone else was comfortable being like, I have Down syndrome and this is what this means and this is, but she literally could not say, I have DS.
And she couldn't say that because of her culture.
Her shame.
Her shame. Yeah. And we're thinking at a certain point she got her mood stabilized and this
for sure.
And this girl right now for sure. This girl right now, she out here making macchiatos. She is out here getting her coin. But she was
she's a boyfriend.
She has a
who's
boyfriend.
So cute. They're such a cute couple.
Elena was one of the huge story arcs that I wish people could really see how important it is and transfer it over to those with non-disability. Mm-hmm. When you do not accept a child for everything that they are in the very beginning stages of their life,
it really imprints.
It imprints in a way of, you know, self-esteem, depression, mood, all kinds of things. It's disabling for the brain.
100%.
And you can see it exacerbated in Elena because of her disability as well.
And
I believe, I don't know if that's true, but that's what I believe.
I agree with you completely. Yeah. And I think something that is also really interesting is we're talking about them from 5 years ago, now almost 6 years ago, because we were late to the show.
We were.
And so I did a little bit of Instagram stalking, of course, and it seems like everyone is still thriving and doing really well, but I just wish that they did an update for us all. Yeah. I want to know. Like, none of them are actually—
We need
like,
a reunion.
We need a reunion, and I want to have it on this podcast. Not everyone is that social media active, so they're not giving me the updates that I crave, particularly you, Rachel, who will probably never see this.
But Rachel, she thinks that she's your sister. I'm if you ever need a sister, Rachel, it's Miranda.
Yeah. I just— Rachel's the best.
I also want to shout out Steven. Our friend has a crush on you, Steven.
Oh, my God. Yes. Our friend has a crush on you, Steven, for real.
And your version of Down syndrome, different from the others, and his way of thinking really brought me joy. He problem solved in such a way, very internal and, you know, personable, but the parents— What did I say to you? We haven't finished it because we're like prolonging this last episode.
Yeah, we're trying to keep the season four alive.
But the way these parents were loved by their adult children is something you rarely see in people that don't have disabilities. Remember what I was saying? I'm laughing because, you know, now it's like, oh, my mom did this and blah, 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 blah. Especially, you know, in these streets. But these adult children were writing letters of how much they love their parents and what the parents had done to them. I mean, Laura, you love your parents that much, though. Do you write them letters? You do? Just randomly?
Babes, let's get into the teapot. Go for it.
Bang, bang, boom. Boom, oh my God, it's so full.
Always. Some things never change. Keep a tradition a tradition.
The topic today is ego.
My Lego.
Ego.
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 The ego and the id.
Ego's crazy.
The ego and the id, according to Freud, which would you rather be more of?
Id.
Id, really?
What is id?
The id is all pleasure and impulse. So,
Sag.
So it would be like, ooh, food, I'm eating it now. The ego would say, ooh, food, I might not need to eat all of that right now.
Well, obviously the id.
The ego has reasoning and has practicality attached to it, according to Freud. And then the id is just all what you first come into the world as, which is impulse and reaction.
What would you choose?
Ego. Ego in this...
in that iteration.
In this
because
iteration.
Because there's other iterations where the ego prevents you from reaching your spiritual enlightenment and prevents you from being present because you're too busy swirling around in your ego. There's so many versions and understandings of the word that we could talk about it for a whole podcast.
Why don't we? Well, that's because we spent 45 minutes talking about Born This Way, so we'll keep this bit short.
I love that show.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
So ego, let's just do surface topic about it really fast.
Okay.
I got an ego because I've worked my whole life and I've gotten accolades, I've gotten money for it, and my ego sustains my ability to know that I'm that bitch.
So on a scale from 0 to 100, 0 being no ego whatsoever, completely evolved, elevated being, to 100 living in full ego, full like, I'm that bitch, I got this, that, and the other, I gotta floss, flex, and beep bop all the time, which are you?
I'm 50%. I'm right in the middle.
Really?
Yeah. I think that I put on my 50 to 100% ego when I'm in certain crowds, I got to, especially the crowds that I roll in. Like, if you don't roll in flexed, fit on fire, like, I know who I am type shit, you'll be eaten up at the door. Then my 1 to 50% ego, which is, like you said, spiritual enlightenment, I know the rooms that I need to sit back, let others shine, let others, you know, live. Or when I'm in nature, there's no ego there. Mm-hmm. I am not in control of nature. I'm only in control of that bottle service when it comes through. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
What about you?
On my scale, I feel like I'm kind of the same as you. I think that my ego, I don't feel like it's a put on in the same way that you described.
Oh, yeah, I'm a put on.
Where you're like, okay, I have to step into this room in a way. I think my ego shows up in certain moments where I'm challenged, or I am intimidated, or there's some kind of external something that happens that then I have a response to. And I'll have to go, okay, am I speaking right now from an ego space where I just feel fucking butthurt, or I feel small or invisible? So this is all like, from a space of like, see me, hear me. Mm-hmm. Or is this truly a scenario where I need to stand up for myself? So I'm always kind of watching and assessing, but I don't think I have an ego in the sense of, like, I'm not egotistical, where people will call certain people that because they think they're the shit and they walk in.
But then
in.
That makes me go, what's the difference between an ego and confidence?
Good question. What is?
I think ego is toxic and confidence is positive. You have to have confidence in yourself. But and you then, need a little bit of ego to know how to get the confidence.
Yeah. But see, that's, again, it comes down to like theories of thought and belief, because ego to Freud would never be toxic. Ego to Freud is what keeps your checks and balances, what keeps you in proper alignment and perspective in the world. So if we've somehow, I think we have toxified as a culture the conversation around ego, because we've labeled people that are loud or confident in themselves as that. But I think that there is something that is actually very being self-assured, knowing who you are, knowing how to walk in a room and be like, I'm great. I think the reason why our culture has labeled that as ego negatively is because that person is a scary person to the masses. That person is not manipulatable, and that person is not someone who has some kind of perceived weakness that you can prey on. Like, oh, you don't like your skin? Here's the product. It's kind of what we, back in when we had Yachty on, mm-hmm. he was saying that. And it's,
I think there's also, when you have an ego, you think that you can get away with things that others wouldn't be able to because you're living in your ego. Meaning you have people that have a whole bunch of money, a whole bunch of celebrity, a whole bunch of this. I'm not going to name who I'm talking about, but you guys can figure it out. So then they make choices knowing they're not going to get in trouble, living in their ego to where, you know what, I'm going to tell this person to come over here and do what I say because of who I am. And that's what it is. And they could do something negative to that person or positive, but they feel like because of their status in society, their ego is taking over. Then there's people with confidence that will know that they can call someone over, but choose, like a Freud situation, to not.
So I think in hearing you say this, when an ego is toxic, and the difference between being a confident person and an egotistical person is, an egotistical person doesn't receive constructive criticism. An egotistical person doesn't receive lesson, where a confident person, I think, can
take the L and move on.
Yeah. And not in a way of anything other than understanding that that's what happens in life. Mm-hmm. Meaning a confident person knows, listen, I'm about to get up on that stage. I'm going to own that shit because I'm great. But I'm a human. I can also make a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
Like, an egotistical person is going to be like, I'm the best. No one can top me. No one can teach me. And then your ego gets you in trouble, because when someone does come to you and say, hey, let's adjust, you're met with complete resistance. Mm-hmm. Where I think a confident person is like, I know what I do, and I know what I do well. I also know where I'm weak and where I can let other people in and be guided, and that's living in a whole different vibration.
Without a doubt. And even that person who's taking that confident stance in life versus the person that you explained that's taking that ego stance, I find that a lot of people that live in a toxic ego world know they messed up, refuse to acknowledge, but then turn it on someone and then make it their, like, I did this. And then they'll change it themselves because they cannot take looking small in front of someone else. Now, that's just that version of ego. Then there's a spiritual version of ego. And that's the difference between your spiritual self and your human self. I always find it interesting that, this has nothing to do with the word, but I always find it interesting when a word can have so many different meanings that are super connected to the topics, and so it kind of gets muddy. And I'm going to say it like this. When you're talking about ego and a spiritual self, you're speaking about the human overriding the spiritual of that human. So I believe that, in a lack of a better term, my human suit is the avatar and my spiritual self is moving it around. When I do not let my spiritual self move my human suit, then my ego is taking over. The human version of me is taking over. The one that, you know, had the childhood and the body is keeping score and all of the mental health issues and the chromosome problems, compared to the spiritual self, which is pure, which is looking throughout all of history and time and making the choices of what my body is supposed to do. In that world, again, the ego kind of has a negative connotation, surprisingly.
When was the last time your ego got you in trouble?
Probably 2 years ago. Well, in trouble where others could see, compared to in trouble to where I was like, why did you act that way? Your ego was taking over. You should have just shut the fuck up and said yes. But in public, probably a few years ago, I misunderstood something, but I was in a position of power. So I didn't want to look like I didn't know what I was talking about. And I fought my battle all the way through. And afterwards, I went to that person. I was like, my apologies, dude. I didn't understand what you were talking about. If you need me to, I can fix it, blah, 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 blah. But at that time, I did not, because there is a vibrato that one needs to have sometimes, not all the time. And I took it too far. What about you?
I don't know, actually. I think that I, what I first think about when I think about my ego getting me in trouble, I wonder if any time somebody gets irritated or like I get pissy or I feel angered about something, if that's all ego. I don't know the school of thought well enough to understand, but I say that to say,
because that's quote unquote bruised ego.
Yeah. Kind of like if that's, if you're in an interaction with somebody and they say something that pisses you off, is that your ego being hurt? Because if you were in a true state of elevation, you'd understand that whatever just happened there is the mirror. You got a trigger, and that's a human trigger that you don't need to respond to or have that response to. And therefore, like, you wouldn't have the irritation if you weren't a human being in a human experience in that moment. So if you're trying to live a higher vibration, you would let it roll, essentially.
Yeah.
So if that is the case, and if I'm answering from that space of egoness, then, I mean, the last time an ego would have gotten me in trouble could have been as recent as yesterday, because...
I mean, but also, you're a Leo. And those who know about some of the signs, like... you're a lion. You live in that bravado type of space, like, in, and not in a negative way.
Yeah.
That's just what you are. I mean, I'm a horse with a, I'm a centurion, you know what I mean? So I'm like, let me see what's going on. Let me adventure. You know, and that just kind of goes with your stars. And I wonder if it's harder for some people that naturally have that air of positive or negative ego. I'm not saying that, you know, I'm not saying you have it. I'm saying that that could be. I wonder if it's a little bit more difficult. There are some people that are just naturally coy and naturally don't have that ego, you know? It might be more difficult to live as a Leo.
I love being a Leo. I hear what you're saying, and I think that there's truth to the Leo, which is... look at me. You know, Leos, by definition, are people that want attention, that are performative, that like being the center of a conversation. And I can see parts of myself where I do want that, but parts of myself shy away from it because of insecurity. But it's hurt. It's not truth. Mm. So I do believe that if my stars had aligned differently, not in terms of my being a Leo, but just in terms of my life, there is a part of me that very much could have been a huge egomaniac. And I can see that. I can see how easy that slope would be. But I also have too much awareness and too much thought and too much consideration for other people to live in that, and too much self-analysis. I think that's what
I think that's the lesbian part of the star system.
Maybe. Maybe. I mean, I'm a huge
self. That's the sapphic part of the.
I'm a huge self. That is. And the Her app can help you discover yours. I think that the thing I find really interesting just about life in general, whether you're living from ego or you're living from it or you're living in toxicity, is analyzing oneself. Is going, why did I just react that way? Why did I say that thing? Why? How? What prompted that in me? Why am I feeling this way? And then separating yourself from it and just observing is endlessly fascinating to me. And that's the psychologist. That's the former life therapist I wanted to be version of me. So how does one check their ego without diminishing themselves?
Oh, to keep an ego in check, someone used to say to me all the time that the reason they treated me the way that they did was to keep my ego in check. Mm. And then I look back and I was just kind of emotionally abused. So I don't really know how to do it in a proper way.
I think the answer is everything. Yeah, please tell me. I think it's what I just said. I think it's being self-aware.
But you have to have an ego to be self-aware, because the ego in some thought processes is the looking at oneself. You can only look at oneself if you are on an ego spectrum.
It depends what definition of ego we're trying to put in check.
This is very true.
But if we're talking about the more known ego, where it's the toxic ego.
Well, I think the toxic ego... Yes, you have to be self-aware, but that requires you to separate even beforehand. I don't think someone who has toxic ego can do that. I think it requires, for lack of education, because I am not, even though I try my best to be, a psychiatrist, a psychologist, or...
You never try and be a psychiatrist. You are not out here trying to prescribe. Well, actually, you know what? You are. You're like, come to my back house. I'm going to give you shrooms. And that's all you need. You are totally... You need to be a psychiatrist more than anything in this world.
I got him. I got you, bro. No, but...
Literally.
There is something to knocking someone off their high horse, for lack of a better term.
Yeah, it feels great. I guess my ego going... Like, let me crush you.
Yeah, and when you're crushed enough, that happens. But there has to be a more healthy way to do that. There has to be a better version. I don't know if it is therapy. I know that the nurse, you know the answer?
I think it's what I was saying. I think,
but you can't do what you said unless you know you need to.
Okay, right. But that is then having to have people who introduce that to you. So you have to
Go to therapy.
Yeah.
So what you said, but you have to have therapy for it. You still need external help.
And then if someone was listening to this, for example, who was like on, had enough of an awareness in themselves that they were like, I need to change some things, or I'm too reactive, or my ego is getting hurt constantly, or social media is feeding my ego and I don't know what to do about it. It is the first step then in kind of separating oneself is the awareness, and then understanding what you would call your ego self and your true self.
I don't think you're talking to those ego-driven, megalomaniac, toxic ego people that don't know what's going on until their world falls around them.
Yeah, something has to crack for those people.
Okay, how does one bring themselves down when they feel really egotistical? How do I bring myself down when I feel egotistical? I think I remind myself that everything that I've worked for can be taken away at the drop of a hat, and it brings me back down to reality, to be 100. Like, I have toxic tools to bring myself back down from the Hollywood ego world that I've lived in for so long. So when I'm on cloud 9 or something like that, or, you know, riding a high of I got success here, I got money coming in here, I got this, I got that, I got this, I got that. When I find myself forgetting, I will drive around the city and look and see what the world really looks like. Because the world that I grew up in is fake and everything is curated perfectly, everything is edited and whatever. But when you drive to every neighborhood, not just your own, you see that everything is not edited and everything is not pretty. And it's between a yes or a no that can put you in a different situation in a heartbeat. And I think that's something else to kind of remember. And I feel like a lot of the toxic ego people forget, or they are so wounded by their past where they used to be that they don't want to get there again. So they feel like they just have to build and build and build and build, and just gets bigger and bigger. I do think it's okay if somebody has an ego and they can back it up with their talent. Like, Beyonce is not going to walk into a room and be like, well, you know, I can sing. Like, no, she's going to walk in there with that confidence and she can back it up.
Well, this is
compared to Britney.
If you, no. But if you know that you can do something,
that's confidence.
That is confidence, but
ego too, yo.
But I think it's also awareness of self, because, like,
yeah,
Whitney
it is,
Houston,
but we're using...
listen, if you are Whitney Houston, well, and you walk into a room, you're Celine Dion, you know that you have a phenomenal voice, that the likelihood of what you have being matched by someone else is very slim. Therefore, if you go into a room, you can have ego about that, just because the fact is the fact, but you don't have to be performative. There's a humbleness that comes with that level of success, because you know you're going to obliterate everyone once you start singing.
Okay, so the reason I'm smiling is because you bring up a wonderful way to describe this.
Okay.
You have a Whitney Houston. You have an Aretha Franklin, and you have a Mariah Carey. Mm-hmm. Mariah Carey's ego is crazy. That shit is toxic as fuck because of the way she talks about people in interviews.
Correct. She doesn't know who Jennifer Lopez is.
Aretha Franklin, cocky, rest in peace, fantastic ego because she knows that she can back it up. Whitney, ego, but she was different with hers. Hers was slick with it. She had the confidence. But, like, those are the three spectrum of women that can back up their ego, but some got a little bit extra. Mm-hmm. Some was just like, okay, grandma, we get you. You're over here being mean as hell. And then some, you know, sweating on the top of her lip, understood what was going on many conversations.
When you know that you are truly talented, or that you have come in with something that your peers just don't have, there are no other questions. You don't have to compete for space, because very few people are matching your space.
But there are some people who have that and still have egos that are unchecked.
I don't know those people, to be honest. I don't. Because when you have somebody like a Meryl Streep, when you have someone like an Angela Bassett, when you have someone like a Whoopi Goldberg, when you have someone like a James Cameron, those people, they're not fighting for space. They know exactly where they sit, because they know that they're unfucking matched, and that is a tell in and of itself. So I think that, like, a person who comes in with a big ass ego, now there are people who are talented who have developed egos, because I think of something unchecked in them, because you get this outpouring of love. That stuff, that's intoxicating. You hear people talk about this all the time. It is intoxicating when you are on a stage performing for millions of people and people are adoring you. God complexes are very real. If you don't have the right people around you, if you don't have something in you that's going to keep you grounded, sure, that's a slippery slope. But I think that true talent in its purest form, artists, people who have greater mission around them, are not the egomaniacs, because they're not competing for space.
I would agree with you. And then I, you know, to bring up some of those people that have huge egos in the industry and have talent to back it up.
Like
a Mariah Carey, like an Aretha Franklin, Whitney Houston, like a Shakira, Chaka Khan, like all these people, even a Celine Dion. I think we go back to the ones whose egos outshine the talent have something deeper in them that's a little unchecked, like you were mm-hmm. saying earlier, because yeah. we can all look at Mariah Carey's interviews and her comments are reckless. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. The ego's crazy. And Aretha Franklin. But that might be something
else.
You
can also just look at the writers.
The writers are crazy.
You know what I'm saying? And Mariah Carey does give an energy which is very much like, no one is better than me.
Yeah.
And I think that that is very different than the energy that Whitney Houston had, which is Whitney Houston would sit down and there was a humility to her and a softness and a sweetness that felt, but also a fierceness.
But I mean, a fierceness in the reality, show me the receipts. Like, she also knew what she could back up. But I think you're right, that ego, and then taking it outside of celebrity for those just in the world themselves, no matter what you succeed in or what your talent is in, I think a healthy amount of confidence with a sliver of ego helps you stay at the position that you're in. Purely. It's just when it gets unchecked, it's dangerous.
Living in ego a lot of the time is from a person who has been really hurt and who lacks confidence, quite frankly, and it is a lot of bravado. For me, if I'm ever... See, I think part of why I don't ever really live in full ego, to be totally honest, is because my truest belief is there is always someone smarter, richer, better, hotter, faster, more intelligent,
tanner,
more with more hair, more adequate, more desired, more believable, more desire, like more wantable, whatever. There, that is where my brain lives. So I rarely, even like taking it back to the conversation about the speech, like, was that my ego being stroked or inflated in some way?
Or was that your confidence being built?
Right. And
I don't think you have an ego.
And was it so kind? Like, every person who complimented me, I was like, damn, really? Like, that was the quiet voice in my head. Like, wow. I made y'all laugh for real. Like, that is just who I, because what I'm more accustomed to is, Raven, your wife's so annoying. And I'm like, yeah. You know, like, and that's programming from my childhood. Like, when you were talking about what Elena had, that's more my default setting. So, yeah, I don't know with the...
It does come back to default settings. And you shine where you shine. And you have your ego where you have your ego. Her ego lands in, she can find a parking space anywhere in America, no
Fuck
matter
yeah,
what.
Yeah, I can. Bring it.
Ego.
On.
Confidence.
Or confidence.
Confidence.
And would it hurt my ego if I didn't get a parking spot?
No. It wouldn't hurt your ego because you have confidence. You would say, it's just not time. We're not supposed to park here.
1,000% correct.
Yeah.
I'd be like, I didn't want that spot anyway, bitch.
So that's where she lands. Her other confidence... I don't think it's the ego, but what she's growing in confidence is her psychic ability. And that is slowly starting to build her confidence.
Now, does it hurt your ego that my psychic ability is better than your psychic ability and you are a psychic?
I also think that her confidence comes in with baking.
Mm.
She has a lot of confidence in that and a lot of ego. In a good way, in a way that's healthy, because there is a healthy ego. An unhealthy ego is one where... that quiet voice in your head that says there's someone more, better, bigger, smarter, that's an unhealthy ego because you will never amount to a higher level of your being if you're never thinking that you can be that way for someone else. Does that make sense? If you think that everybody else is bigger, better, happier, whatever, then where's the person in you that says, well, I'm bigger and I'm better and I'm better than that? You know what I mean? It's like a little bit of that.
Well, that's why I resign myself to living in delusion.
Obviously, babes. It's the best. To answer this wacky question of is my ego bruised because of your psychic ability? No, my ego's not bruised because of your psychic ability. My ego is bruised. My ego is bruised, and I'm going to be 100. Mm. When I know something for a fact and I tell someone...
Someone being me.
They don't, I didn't say that, you said that. They don't listen. And then months or weeks or days later, it comes true and they don't come back and be like, oh, that's right, you did say this. That hurts me. It doesn't bruise my ego.
I was gonna say, I don't think that bruises your ego. I think that deeply pisses you the fuck off. No ego, you're just like, I told you so. I guess the ego is,
listen to me when I tell you because I know something.
And that's the thing. The ego would come into play because you were pissed that you weren't listened to versus that person giving the flip in the head would have been, that person wasn't ready to receive that information at that time because they needed the last 3 months to learn what I was saying so they could receive it.
And literally, the reason I don't have that flip is because I've always been that person in everyone's life who's like, I got the answer. If you hear me, and I think this comes from a childhood thing, I can help you skip a couple of steps because I know this already. And then I see you go through, this is exactly a childhood thing, I see you go through the steps and I'm like, you could have stopped all that and just listened to what I said and did it and figured out new steps and then teach me something.
Well, that's where you have to, that's where you have to become the sage. Instead of trying to be the teacher.
I'm tired of, I'm so tired.
No, you haven't become the sage.
I have become the sage.
No, you haven't. No, you're living as a teacher still. Because if you were a sage, you would have you wouldn't be tired because someone else didn't take your advice.
That's true.
You would give your advice, and if a person received it, you'd be like, wonderful. And if they didn't, you'd be like, wonderful.
Yeah, but I can't because sometimes I do it and people are like, but this happened. And in my head, I'm just like, I fucking told you so. I told you so. Don't whine to me about the shit.
That's your ego being. That's just you being an asshole. That's
There's a difference between ego, asshole.
There's so many definitions of things, and there's so many things at play, and we're just people. So let's toast. Today on the podcast, we're toasting to Manolo Betancourt. I'm not sure. Betancourt.
Okay, Betancourt.
Yeah. Manolo is the owner of Manolo's Bakery in Charlotte, North Carolina. For more than 12 years, he has been giving out cakes to his homeless neighbors because he believes everyone deserves a birthday cake.
That's really lovely. I love that.
We don't call them homeless, he says. They're our neighbors. That is literally.
I call them neighbors too, Manolo.
That's what we've always called them. This year, Manolo and his employees delivered their 300th cake, marking a hard-fought milestone. That's awesome.
I am, first of all, we have so many neighbors nowadays. Yeah. The neighbor population is growing.
And you're like Manolo, but unlike Manolo, you tried to give them bread that you didn't want versus Manolo, who wants to give them actual lovely birthday cakes.
Some of our neighbors have gluten allergies. I just feel like what he's doing, he's not doing it for recognition.
The applause.
He's not doing it for the applause. He's doing it to feed his ego.
And good for you on that. Thank you, everybody, for watching today's episode of Tea Time with Raven and Miranda, putting up with me being a little sicky.
If you got a little sapphic in your life, don't forget to download the app Her today. Bye.
See you next time. Bye.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.